The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians 6, verse 17b. Chapter 1. Two notes observed in general from the words and briefly touched upon. There are two things we may take notice of before we come to a closer discussion of the words. First, from the sword of arms here appointed for the Christian's use, a weapon that is both defensive and offensive, such is the word. All the rest is the apostle's armory, are set out by defensive arms, girdle, breastplate, shield, and helmet, such as are of use to defend and save the soldier from his enemy's strokes. But the sword both defends him and wounds his enemy. Of like use is the word of God to the Christian. First, it is for defense. Easily might the soldier be disarmed of all his other furniture, how glittering and glorious soever, had he not a sword in his hand to lift up against his enemy's assaults. And with as little ado would the Christian be stripped of all his graces, had he not this sword to defend them and himself too from Satan's fury. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Psalms 119:92. This is like the flaming sword with which God kept Adam out of paradise. The saint is often compared to Christ's garden. There would not long hang any of their sweet fruit upon their souls were not Satan kept off with the point of the sword. Oh, this word of God is a terror to him. He cannot for his life overcome the dread of it. Let Christ say, but it is written, and the foul fiend runs away with more confusion and terror than Kaugola at the crack of thunder, and that with which of such force coming from Christ's blessed lips to drive him away. The saints have always found the most successful instrument to defend them against his fiercest temptations. Ask David, what was the weapon with which he warded off the blows this enemy made at him, and he will tell you, it was the word of God. Psalms 17:4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. That is, by the help of thy word, I have been enabled to preserve myself from those wicked works and outrageous practices, to which others, for want of this weapon to defend them, have been hurried. Again, the sword, as it defends the soldier, so it defends his enemy. Thus the word of God is, as a keeping, so a killing sword. It doth not only keep and restrain him from yielding to the force of temptation without, but also, by it, he kills and mortifies his lust within, and this makes the victory complete. A man may escape his enemy one day, and be overcome by him at another. We read of some that for a while escaped the pollutions of the world, yet because their lusts were never put to the sword and mortified in them by the power of the word applied to their hearts, were at last themselves overcome and slain by their secret enemy. They lay sulking within their bosoms. 2 Peter 2:20 compared with verse 22. Absalom, notwithstanding his being hanged by the hair of his head, might have lived to have taken revenge afterwards on them by whom he was then beaten, had not Joab come in timely and killed him by sending his darts with a message of death to his heart. We have daily sad experiences of many that wiggle themselves out of the trouble of conscience, by which for a time they are restrained, and their sins, as it were, held by the hair. To rush afterwards into more abominable courses than they did before, and all for want of skill to use, or courage and faithfulness to thrust this sword by faith to the heart of their lust. Secondly, observe the order and place wherein this piece of armor stands. The apostle first gives the Christian all the former pieces, and when these are put on, he then girds his sword about him. The Spirit of God, in holy right, I confess, is not always curious to observe method, yet methinks it should not be unpardonable if I venture to give a hint of double sufficiency in the very place in order that it stands in. First, it may be brought in after all the rest to let us know how necessary the graces of God's Spirit are to our right using of the Word. There is nothing more abused than the Word. And why? Because men come to it with unsounded, unsanctified hearts. The heretic quotes it to prove his false doctrine, and dares be so impudent as to cite it to appear for him. And how is it possible they should further their monstrous bursts on the pure, chaste Word of God? Surely it is because they come to the Word and converse with it, but bring not the girdle of sincerity with them, and be ungirt, are unblessed. God leads them justly to miss of truth, because they are not sincere in their iniquity after it. The brat is got upon his own heart by the father of lies, and they come to the Word only to witness to it. Another reads the Word and is more hardened in his lust than he was before. He sees some there canonized for saints by the Spirit of God, and the history of whose lives is, notwithstanding, blotted with some foul falls, possibly into those very sins in which he lies wallowing, and therefore is bold to put himself into the saints' calendar. And why so imprudent? Truly, because he comes to the Word with an unholy heart and wants the breastplate of righteousness to defend him from the dints of so dangerous a temptation. Another, for want of faith to give existence to the truth of the threatening in his conscience, runs boldly upon the point of his sword and dares the God of heaven to strike him with it. Thus we find those wrenches mentioned by the prophet playing with this edged tool. Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Jeremiah 17:15. As if they had said mockingly, thou scarest us with strange bugbears. Judgment that in the name of God thou threatenest are coming on us. When will they come? We would fain see them. Is God's sword rusty that he is so long getting it out of the scabbard? And the despairing soul, for want of a helmet of hope, deals little better with the promise than the presumptuous sinner with the threatening. Instead of lifting it up to defend him against the fears of his guilty conscience, he falls upon the point of it and destroys his own soul. Well, therefore, may the apostle first put on the other pieces and then deliver the sword to them to use for their good. A sword in a madman's hand and the word of God in a wicked man's mouth are used much alike to hurt only themselves and their best friends with. Secondly, it may be commended after all the rest to let us know that the Christian, when advanced to the highest attainments of grace possible in this life, is not above the use of the word, nay, cannot be saved without it. When girded with sincerity, his plate of righteousness on his breast, shield of faith in his hand, and helmet of hope covering his head, his salvation is out of doubt to him at present. Yet even then he must take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is not a book to be read by the lowest class in Christ's school only, but becoming the highest scholars, who seem most fit for a removal to heaven's academy. It is not only of use to make a Christian by conversion, but to make him perfect also, 2 Timothy 3:15. It is like the architect's rule and line, as necessary to lay the top stone of the building at the end of his life as the foundation at his conversion. They, therefore, are likely to prove foolish builders that throw away their line before the house be finished. I now come to take up the weapon in the text, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in which words observe these three parts. First, the weapon itself, that is, the word of God. Secondly, the metaphor, in which it is shield, the sword, and the person whose it is, the Spirit. Thirdly, an exhortation to make use of this weapon and the sword, etc., that is, take this with all the other before-named pieces, so that to whom he directs the former pieces, he gives the sword of the word to use. Now those who you shall find are persons of all ranks and relations, husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants. He would have none be without the sword any more than without the girdle, helmet, and the rest. Though this, I know, will not please the papist, who would have the sword of the word, like that of Goliath, laid up out of their reach in the priest's keeping. End of chapter 1 of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17b, and been read by Peter John Parisis.